crois. Non, non, non. How are you? Yeah, I haven't seen you in a bit.
Are you alright?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just here to see what's going on.
Oh yeah. Should be interesting.
Fly on the wall today.
Should be interesting. As everything else is in this. Good Friday afternoon. Good. How are you?
Shirley Bernstein signed her last will on May the 20th of 2008. And on the same day, she signed the Shirley Bernstein Trust Agreement. She died December 8th, 2010, And in February, the ordinary course, I guess, the prior personal representative, Simon Bernstein, opened a probate proceeding. He was represented by counsel, the Tesher and Spalina firm. So they filed the will, and they filed the and the court entered an order admitting the will, and that all took place February 10th of 2011. So we're talking about over 3 years ago already, those events. The inventory was filed, and the inventory is filed September the 9th of 2011, and the inventory is important because all the inventory shows is no residences and no residue of her estate. All that it showed was the tangible personal property that Simon estimated at $25,000. Now that's an inventory that was prepared by the personal representative. It was filed in the court over 3 years ago. There's never been an objection to the inventory. But it's there's only $25,000 in tangible personal property. The real estate that Shirley resided in was already in her trust, so there, it never passed through the probate court. So about 7 or 8 months after they filed the inventory, Simon has discharged his duties. Now I should step back. The beneficiaries under her will, other than for specific items of personal that she could have left by a written memorandum on a piece of jewelry to somebody, other than that, tangible personal property goes to Simon if he survives her. If he doesn't, doesn't matter anymore because Simon survived her for nearly 2 years. And anything other than tangible personal property that would be real estate or anything else that was not the specific tangible property would go into her trust. The only beneficiaries are Simon Bernstein and her trust. So in April of 2012, 15 months after she died or so, maybe my math may be off, some number of months after she died and 7 or 8 months after they filed the inventory, Simon decides, I've done all I can do and I'm going to file a petition for discharge. So Simon prepares a petition for discharge. This is tab 4 in our book. He signs it on April the 9th. It's also signed by his lawyer, Mr. Spalina. And that's the petition by Simon asking for discharge and indicating he's done everything that needed to be done. And Simon decided, for whatever reason, they decided to get waivers from Simon's 5 adult children. Now, I don't know if legally a waiver was required because they were no longer beneficiaries of the estate, but they wanted to obtain waivers. So the next thing that happened was they had a conference call with the family. Simon, his lawyer, and all 5 of his children had a conference call on May the 10th of 2012. And on that call, Simon advised his children that he wanted to close the estate. He was the sole beneficiary. He had done everything he needed to do. And he asked everyone to sign a waiver. The first person to sign a waiver, and it's a tab 5 of my book, was Elliot Bernstein. Elliot Bernstein signs a waiver. He emails the waiver into the lawyer, Spalina, with this email that you see in tab 5. And then he prints out the email, puts his thumbprint on it and initials. If you look at the first page of tab 5, it even has the Elliot Bernstein initial with his thumbprint. And he sends the original to the lawyer. This is in May, a few days after the meeting. In his email, his cover email, this is the Elliot Bernstein cover email to Mr. Spalina, he acknowledges that he has attached as the waiver, which is the document, with no doubt that Elliot signed it. As I mentioned in the phone call, I have not seen any of the underlying estate documents or my mother's will at this point, yet I signed this document after our family call so that my father can be released from his duties as personal representative and put whatever matters that were causing him stress to rest. So Elliot sends in the document with that email. There's the other children were not as the other children weren't as diligent as Elliot in getting in their waiver. Elliot sent his in May. Ted signed his in August 1st. Pam, I'm near the bottom of the first page. Pam signed hers August 8th. Lisa signed hers August 21st. And Simon died on September the 13th. We only had 4 of the 5 children had signed waivers. Jill's waiver comes in thereafter. And that all gets filed with the court. The petition for discharge. Really, Simon has died. I wasn't involved at this point. Simon has died. They filed a petition for discharge with the five waivers. Now,
okay, so let me just go back. Simon signed the discharge in April 9, 2012. They didn't file it?
Well, they had to wait for the waivers. And the reason for the waiver, and the vagaries of life, you know, the accidents that happened.
Okay, but I don't want you to testify on this issue. You shouldn't do that, which you're doing. There's case law that says a lawyer cannot tell a judge in opening statement anything that you might want me to consider as a fact. Okay, not allowed to do that. Okay. So be really careful about that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you give me an opening statement as to what facts will be presented by someone else, but that's not what you're doing right now. So let's be careful.
Okay. Okay.
So, but you answered my question. He signed it on April 9th. You know that because you see the signature and the date, but it didn't get filed with the court until October 24th?
Correct.
Okay. And it was filed by the state council. Or someone filed it because he was deceased, but is that his lawyer who filed it?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So they filed the and it's in the court file, and it's actually in the court file in this case, is the petition for discharge with five waivers, with six waivers, one by Simon and one by each of the five children. And Your Honor has a rule that the waivers must be notarized. And I think that's Your Honor's policy. We're not objecting to your policy, but as a result of that, the ex parte clerk put a memo in the court docket entry number 24 that rejected the unnotarized waivers. What happened next is not in dispute. Someone in the law firm redid the waivers with notaries that are improper. If those were filed, you closed the estate. And then that all came to light when there was a hearing to reopen the estate. Now, before the hearing to reopen the estate, we have the affidavits from all the other four children who said the following two things in their affidavits, again, not in dispute, that they signed the original waivers back when they did, and that they still consented to the waiver, and they signed new waivers. And the only person who's objected to the exposure of the estate was Elliot Bernstein. So because there was an impropriety in the notarization of the second set of waivers, there was a hearing to reopen the estate. Your Honor, and I quoted the transcript, and it's kind of important what you said. And I put in the docket entry, because we're at docket entry 42 in the case, was to reopen the estate. And to hear it, Your Honor said that, Mr. Elliot Bernstein, I want you to understand something. Let's say you prove what seems to be easy, that Moran, that's an employee of Tesher's law firm, notarized your signature, your father's signature, other people's signatures after you signed it, and you signed it without the notary there, and they signed it afterwards. That may be a wrongdoing on her part as far as her notary republic ability, but the question is, unless someone claims and proves forgery, the document will report to be the document of the person who signs it. And then the question is, will something different happen in Shirley's estate than what was originally intended? That was your first reaction to what happened. We're now at docket entry 119. We're spending an enormous amount of time and money dealing with this estate when, based on the inventory, there's virtually nothing in this estate. Anything that would have been in this estate... Yes, you reopened the estate and you appointed Ted S. Bernstein as the successor personal representative. That was his first involvement in this case.
Okay. Is that order in here or is that not?
I didn't put that order in here.
Okay. All right, but there is an order.
Yes.
We have it if you need it.
What?
You want it?
Okay, but in those accused, I entered that order.
Yeah.
That reopened the estate. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, I represent the successor PR. This is when he took over this estate, it had nothing in it. There's never been anything in the estate under his control. Everything that was there, Simon took, because Simon was the PR and the sole beneficiary. Yeah. So the accounting would be there was nothing there when we took over, there's nothing now, and there's never going to be anything, because we have no reason to believe there's anything ever coming into this estate. And if there was something coming into this estate, if someone located an asset and said,
is there any activity on the estate?
There's been even some...
some issue that would pertain to either accountings or distribution of discharge.
There's nothing actually pending. The only thing that's pending is that Mr. Elliot Bernstein uncovered this fraud that Your Honor commented on, and it's a fraud that, when you get through the end of it, it amounts to nothing. And though it's a
fraud, amounts to a lot. Fraud never amounts to nothing.
No, it's a tragedy that it happened.
No, it's a fraud. A fraud in a court proceeding, in and of itself, is serious. It may not have an immediate economic effect. Maybe the person did get away with whatever they were intending to get away with, if there was something pending in that area, it's still fraud upon the court. And hearing to reopen the estate. I mean, there's a multitude of issues, one of which was, could the estate be closed based upon the improperly signed waivers? And I, on a motion by, I assume it was Elliot, to reopen the estate, I granted it, because everyone conceded the waivers were improperly notarized, so we relied upon improper fraudulent documents in that way. Fraudulent meaning the notary executed it without the person signing their presence. That's what happened, correct?
And she forged it. She admitted forging all six signatures.
So now we have that status. So now, because we're intelligent people, we go forward and we say, well, let's separate the issue of wrongdoing that will take place for one day from the administration of the estate. So we reopen the estate. We appoint Ted as the replacement PR, correct?
Yes.
And now Ted files a petition to reclose the estate, which is the judicial PR. He wants to do what was accomplished by signing the past, and he wants to do that, correct?
Ted wasn't involved when the law firm.
What does he
want to accomplish? He wants to accomplish is to reclose the estate and be discharged. Okay. So stop spending money on this. I didn't mean to belittle the fraud. It was my point about the fraud was not that it was not serious.
So the question is, in the administration of Shirley's estate, is there something legally that prevents this from being closed as if you are discharged?
Absolutely not.
Okay, all right, so let me hear from Elliot.
But if I could, just one, okay. Our legal theory, just briefly.
All right, sure.
Okay. So if you put aside the fraudulently notarized waivers, okay, then we have the original waivers. And what I would submit to the court is there's no absolute legal requirement that there be a notary on a waiver. It's a good way for the court to make certain that the document is genuine. But since there's no evidence that Elliot's signature is not genuine on his waiver.
Ted and Will signed new waivers in the
They signed an affidavit saying their original waivers were valid and that they had signed them freely and voluntarily.
Okay, I got that.
Yeah, and they did sign. They signed affidavits, and the affidavits attached their original waivers and said the original waivers were valid.
Okay. But
I think if you could close the estate based on Elliot's waiver that was knowingly given in May of 2012, alternatively you could close the estate as a contested matter by saying that there's nothing for the
personal.
Yeah.
No.
Thank you.
All right. So you know where
we're at? Well, I'm a little confused, first off, because the last we talked, we were going to hear the motions to remove Ted, which deal with serious conflict issues. And I believe Ted arguing in this case where if he isn't successful with this nonsense he's trying, his family gets zero.
Wait, hold on.
They're claiming that... Okay.
In Shirley's estate...
Yep.
Okay. There's been one inventory filed, correct?
Yeah.
It says what it says.
But now we've given them assets of hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. We've given Ted jewelry reports that show jewelry. They're saying that Cy has all this furniture of Shirley's worth.
Who's
my father.
Okay. Okay.
No, I'm taking discipline. You got to listen.
Shirley,
right.
And Simon, her husband and wife.
Right.
And Shirley dies first.
Right.
assignment is, from a person point of view, her beneficiary?
Of $25,000, according to this inventory. Period.
And the residue of her estate goes to?
Elliot, Lisa, and Jill. Family trusts. Named Ted and Pam are considered predeceased in that trust and their lineal descendants. So you see, if Ted doesn't argue successfully here, his family will get nothing.
Hey,
so that conflict, okay.
I'm told here that under the terms of Shirley's will, Simon gets 25%, $25,000 of tangible property.
Right.
Well, yeah. He gets all of it.
And there was a 25%.
Right. There was a million of it, you would get
so
a million.
The will says all my personal things goes to my husband.
Got it. Okay, and then it says the residue.
The residence says whatever residence I have goes to Simon.
No, it's in the trust.
No, you're right, Your Honor. Page, Article 2 says residences. I give to Simon, if he survives me, my entire interest in any real estate used by me as a permanent resident.
But those residents went into Shirley's trust.
Okay, but the point is, you just read the will. The will says, I just heard what it says.
Yeah.
I give to Simon.
Okay.
And then the residue goes to a trust. Okay, correct?
Yes, so, which?
All right, so now, we keep. So is there, the way wills are written, you make at an election a specific bequest. Here this was done from Shirley to Simon of her tangible property. He got it all. And then everything else, the residents went to Simon. Mr. Rose just read that. And then everything else goes to Shirley Trust. Is that disputed? That's what the will says.
Everything goes to what? To Simon's trust?
Sure.
Shirley's trust,
yeah, sure.
Which were me, Lisa, and Jill are the beneficiaries of.
The trust, they get whatever's left.
The trust gets the residue.
So now.
Correct.
Let me see if I understand the issue. Simon gets all personal things.
Yeah.
Simon gets the real estate. Shirley's trust gets everything else.
Well, Shirley's trust gets the real estate.
No.
Yes.
He says here that Simon gets the real.
Well, that might be more part of the incongruent documents that are going on here, but.
The will says Simon gets any real estate I own. But at the time of her death, she didn't own any real estate because it was already in the trust.
Okay.
But it's
so
the will is the will.
Shirley's trust? It was already in Shirley's trust?
Correct.
So,
but the will
of the property at the time of Shirley's death was already.
Yes, well, for Elliot, Lisa, and Jill trusts.
Oh, in the trust.
Right.
It's in the trust called Shirley Burns' trust, and that's subject to a separate case later to determine who.
Let me run the show. Okay. It sounds like everything that Shirley had that could be bequeathed under her will was covered by those two things.
Okay. Then we gave you and them. An insurance policy that showed $700,000 of Shirley's jewelry that was appraised right before her death. And they won't put it on a new inventory because that'll expose that those assets went missing. We also gave evidence. Okay.
So the value of the inventory going to Simon that includes the tangible personal property is $25,000. And that was prepared by. $25,000
Simon did.
As a trust, as the PR of Shirley's estate.
Correct.
Well, I believe that the testimony from the hearing from Spolina said that he asked Cy, and Cy told him 25, and no accountings or anything were done.
You don't have to do that in the accounting.
Oh, I know, but no questions. No, right.
I accept his proffer. That's what happened. Simon Bernstein was asked, and he said it's $25,000.
So, I'm not saying that happened, Your Honor.
So here's my question.
I believe that document's fraudulent, too.
If Simon has a right to inherit from his wife all of her tangible personal property, and the inventory value says that that's worth, according to Simon, $25,000, is that right so far?
Yep.
True.
Oh, well, allegedly, according to Simon.
Well, that's what the document shows.
Well, we're questioning the document, but okay.
So, is there a contention by anyone as to whether Simon is the beneficiary of whatever tangible personal property Shirley had in her death?
Nope. According to that document.
Absolutely.
So now we're showing, so now we're showing millions of dollars of...
What you told me is, let me word it by way.
Okay.
Because I want to be able to understand what you're saying.
Okay.
And I'll articulate it to the company if I'm right or wrong. You seem to be suggesting, Elliot, that there's more tangible property from a value point of view than $25,000. Is that
far more.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. So, are you suggesting that Simon was somehow mistaken when he put in the inventory that the tangible value of the personal property was $25,000?
I'm saying I don't believe Simon did that personally because he knew of lots of assets. In fact, there's a memo that's supposed to be there dealing with all those assets.
Yeah. Challenge to the inventory signature of Simon.
Yes.
Is there? That's
in the file here? Yeah. It's been in the court record for 3 years. So,
I've challenged it in my petitions that are unheard still.
You're missing the point.
Right.
This is where the rules
apply. Okay.
I'm not talking about separate freestanding petitions. In the Shirley estate, is there a challenge to the inventory based upon the lack of authenticity of Simon Seaman?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a copy of that document?
No, but it's in my...
What do I call it or where do I find it?
Can you find it? Right. No, I know. We didn't see that inventory. We didn't get that. That was part of the problem. We weren't given those inventories properly. But more important, Your Honor.
No, I don't want to make any. More important than that, that's where I am right now.
Okay.
So, did you file at some point a challenge
to the inventory?
To the inventory on the grounds that it is the product of forgery, it was not executed by Simon?
Yes.
Okay, and you did that in the Shirley Bernstein case?
Correct, and the Simon. I put the petition in both. Right. And by the way, Your Honor, when you did this, we then went to, you made Ted the PR, despite all the conflicts, and we asked him to, you know, disclose, the two things that we filed from Brandon.
Interrogatories.
And a document production regarding certain of the things to put to challenge further that inventory. And we've, as a PR, he's just avoided it.
Right, and this was after we got the inventory.
Now,
hold on.
Okay.
Simon?
Correct.
Yeah, Simon,
right. Yep.
Okay. The inventory sealed, but I see it was filed.
Right. We never got copies.
We don't get copies because it's sealed.
As a beneficiary?
Well, it didn't go to you at that point.
Right. And then when you gave it to us, we filed a bunch of petitions challenging it, saying that we had $800,000 of jewelry that's missing off our inventory, that we have all this furniture that they're claiming passed to Simon. Well, anything that passed to Simon over $25,000, where is it? How could it be? So if the inventory is showing $25,000 and we're now showing well over $1 million of estate assets of Shirley's, and they're not denying it, why wasn't it put on the inventory? Why hasn't Ted, as PR, adjusted the inventories?
Okay, hold on.
Okay. Honor. There's a docket text 82 motion that's got a petition for full accounting due to alleged theft of assets, falsified inventories.
So here's where I am looking now at the file. I entered an order September 24, 2013, a little over a year ago, in this case, that was brought on Elliot's motion, emergency motion to freeze estate assets. I said, there's no emergency. However, I set a hearing for October 28, 2013, only on the estate of Shirley Brunson.
Correct.
And I wrote the following in the order. The purpose of this hearing shall be for the court to address any alleged improprieties or defects in the form of the pleadings or other documents submitted to the court in furtherance of the closing of the estate. Okay, so actually that order, that will be chapter number 24. Shall remain open pending the filing of a petition for discharge by Ted as successor PR and any disposition thereof pursuant to probate rules and statutes. The court has determined it will take no action regarding the form of the pleadings or other documents that were submitted to the court to close the estate while Simon was PR, reserve jurisdiction. So I ruled that the Simon documents, okay, including the documents that maybe were challenged for authenticity, I wasn't going to deal with any longer now that Ted was appointed. You know what I ruled?
It was before my time, but I believe you're okay.
Yeah, right. I'm just reading it. That's what I had the hearing. So I said, state gets open. Ted can file a de novo petition for discharge, which he's done, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I'll rule on that, but I don't have to deal with the form of other pleadings that were done originally when the estate was closed, especially because a lot of those documents are conceded were the product of forgeries by Moran and Notary. So
size inventory as you come.
But no one at that point, I don't have here a challenge. I just went through the docket. In the Shirley Brunson case, I don't have a challenge to the authenticity.
You do, because on docket 82, January 2nd, 2014. Okay, well, right after we got the inventory, we filed a challenge to it saying that there were missing assets. Go back to that.
We have a motion that...
And we've been trying to get the information for a year now. This is after. It has one.
Okay, so then
So it does come at 40.
Okay, now I see. September 9, 2014, Elliott filed a motion in opposition to Carson Representative's petition for discharge of the closing of the state. So that's the pleading that he filed, correct?
He did file that.
Okay. How come that's not in your chronology?
But I'm challenging. Sorry. No, sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm not going to take time right now unless I have to, because it says it's 47 pages long to read the motion, but the subject matter, which is opposition to discharge and to reclose the state, has now been filed in September by Elliott on this matter, raising whatever he raises in the motion. So, don't I have to close the estate disclosing that motion?
Well, I don't believe so, for a couple of reasons. Number one, first off, I go back to, he signed a waiver in 2012 of the state of where we were, and he knowingly signed a voluntary waiver.
No, but you suggested that the time that he signed that waiver, which was on May 15, 2012, that he knew of all of the shenanigans of pressure and doing that?
Well, there had not been any shenanigans at that time.
Okay.
What he knew at that time, he knew he had never seen the will, he had never seen any estate documents, and he signed it anyway. But here's the more important.
All right, so you want me to rule initially that the waiver that Elliott signed in May of 2012 remains binding on him to prevent him from filing and having relief based upon his motion that I just mentioned, which is his motion in opposition to his petition for discharge and to reclose the estate.
Yes, and okay. Secondly...
Hold on. Okay. Second. Hold on. The waiver done in May 15 of 2012 is dispositive of Ted's petition for discharge that Ted filed after that.
And Your Honor, Ted's not filing the petition for discharge. They're trying to use Simon's April 9th, which is when you saw that document in the September 13th hearing.
This is a petition to reclose.
No, but they're using sized documents. Ted's not signing it.
That's not the point. So here's where Elliott, you're winning and you're going to
hurt. Okay.
So I always tell people, sometimes you can, you know, smash the feet in the jaws of victory. You still want to do that? Discipline yourself. Not everything has to be done in response to that. Okay, so the motion, there is the PR's petition to reclose the state based upon prior signed waivers and the petition to discharge of successor PR is by Ted, correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. And so the part of the basis of that petition is that Elliott's May of 2012 waiver should not allow him to oppose the petition to reclose and for discharge. Correct?
Sure,
you denied that. Okay. And request for accounting. And I'm requesting accounting. Meaning they're saying they have all the waivers of accounting. Oh, I'm sorry.
Here's the thing. And maybe it's just because I've been getting this today. I constantly am getting interrupted, and the flow of how I need to be able to make my rulings is being disrupted. And, you know, I chastised lawyers earlier today, continuing to do that, to the peril of themselves and you're right there. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
Okay, so, you know, as I told them, you can't continue to do that. There's no end, because I'm not done. Okay, and when I'm finished, I always give everyone a chance to speak, but you all don't let me finish. You always interrupt me, so stop doing that. Okay, so, what were you going to say, Mr. Rose? I lost.
So, the other grounds for seeking to reclose the estate are, which you raised as sort of a practicality ground, and you asked me a question of whose motion they filed in response to our petition to discharge.
His motion is an opposition.
Correct. And I submit he lacks standing to do that for the following reason. He's not a beneficiary.
Well, stop. Why did you then... You asked that... And Elliot is one of those prior signed waivers, correct?
Correct.
So, are you taking a position that it wasn't the same that some of the other siblings signed waivers? Because it's your motion that says it is, so I just want to know whether you meant what you said in your motion.
Well, I said that I didn't believe they actually needed to have waivers necessarily, but the lawyers were doing it as an abundance of caution. They were...
Well, there's two sets of waivers, one by Elliot and two by everybody else because of the problem with the notarization.
Right.
The other four siblings signed affidavits at least requesting their waivers. Okay, so a lot of work and effort in your chart is based upon the subject of waivers. Now you're telling me that that's a waste of time because none of those children, Elliot or his four siblings, had standing to even participate. And so my question is, if that's what you're saying, why are we spending so much time on the waiver issue?
Well, they are, in Shirley's estate, they would be her heirs at law.
Okay.
So I don't know whether you require it or it was you know, a belt and suspenders, but to waive the accounting, Simon and his lawyers asked all five children to waive the accounting. What I was suggesting in the motion was the only reason that the original petition was denied was because of the notary being absent. Okay, so that's denied.
Okay.
My next point is, for Elliot there's two points. One, he lacks standing because he's not a beneficiary of this estate.
I understand.
And then secondarily, if he finds an asset next week, I mean, to date there's no assets. You can show me an insurance policy, it doesn't mean there's an asset there, right? So, if there's no evidence that there were assets. He's saying he found an insurance policy that had listed some jewelry. And he's saying, where's the jewelry?
You mean not a life insurance policy, but a jewelry waiver, a jewelry writer?
I just heard him say that earlier today. That's what he thinks. Yeah. There's jewelry missing. What I'm saying is, if there was jewelry that he finds, if he goes out tomorrow and finds jewelry that was owned by Shirley on the day she died, it passed to Simon because he got everything. So it would be in Simon's estate. It would not be, there's nothing for him to worry about in Shirley's estate. It would be in Simon's estate.
Let me ask you this question.
And we're,
so slow down. So everyone seems to agree, hopefully this is the case, that according to Shirley, all of her tangible personal property goes to Simon.
True.
And you agree with that. All of it goes to Simon.
$25,000, according to the inventory.
The value of it, but all
the
will
says
it goes to him.
Yep.
Okay, so now, the inventory that values that at $25,000, put aside whether that's accurate or not, whatever it is to go to Simon. I mean, is to go to Simon. True?
True.
No. Oh. It says by specific memorandum on page one, whatever was supposed to go to my wife, my kids, that my mother designated.
All of her tangible personal property.
That isn't specifically granted to other children or people. So there's supposed to be a written memorandum with this will that we've been trying to get.
Is there a clause in the will that's a request of tangible personal property?
It's a very standard rule. It does say first part of Article 1 says, I give such items of my tangible personal property to such persons as I may designate in a separate written memorandum. Very standard. I've never seen one, and I don't know that there's one. Not an issue. There's not one. There is not one.
So the will, it hasn't been filed with the court, a memo, correct?
Correct.
And no one's produced one?
Correct.
So what is the directive of Shirley's will about her personal property?
Everything else goes to Simon if he survives her, which he did.
Okay. Is that true under the will?
Yes.
Okay. So let's get back to what I was talking about. Simon is the direct beneficiary of Shirley's personal thing. True?
Correct.
Okay, yes?
Correct.
Okay, so now, this is what I think I'm hearing, so you're going to correct me if I'm wrong. Elliot claims that Shirley died in December, and Simon dies in September of 2012. Okay, got that right. Shirley had X of personal property. Okay. The identity of the items right now I don't have to mention, but it, according to Elliot, was more than what's identified in the inventory. Okay. That would not matter if all of Shirley's property from the time that she died went to Simon and is now in Simon's estate because Simon died. So unless Simon gave it away or did something like that, whatever Shirley had goes to Simon. So let's assume Simon was still alive right now, okay? Simon says, okay, I get all my wife's personal things. I thought there was $25,000 in there, but my son enlightened me that it's really $750,000 worth of items, including jewelry, etc. Okay? And so, whatever it is, Simon would be entitled to those items, true?
True.
Okay. Elliot, I think, is claiming that between the time that Shirley died and the time that Simon died, or maybe since the time also that Simon died, that personality has been diverted from Simon and his estate to Ted. Is that what your allegation is?
No, Ted, Pam, Lisa, and Jill.
Okay.
They've admitted they have possession of those things.
Okay. All right, so not whether it's true or not, but does Elliot make that allegation in this 47-page opposition? Is it alleged?
I assume he's alleging that.
Okay, fine. So let's back up for a second. A decedent dies and leaves to their spouse personal property that the spouse then owns, and then that spouse dies, meaning their estate then owns it if it was still in existence. Between these dates, some other family member gets a hold of those items and doesn't deliver it to the second to die estate. The person himself, okay, and I have this exact case, Fred Vaughn's case, where there's millions of dollars in jewelry for that collection takes place. So this is not unfamiliar to me how this could happen. I'm not saying it happened here. And Elliot says the perpetrator of this is the PR. It's Ted. And so, he doesn't say that?
He doesn't say it's Ted.
Yeah, no. I say Ted and others.
Ted and others. So
not as the PR in this estate, though. He's saying is, when the stuff goes to Simon,
yeah.
Okay, everything goes out of this estate into Simon. Now Simon has it for some period of time. Simon at that point, it's an issue to be dealt with in Simon's estate.
Why is it stolen from Simon during Simon's lifetime?
It's an issue in Simon's estate. And we're not closing Simon's estate today. But the thing is...
But how do I identify what it is that the starting point of signed his estate. Probably all the shareholders, you would. How do I identify the unless I can issue an order to make the ruling on what it is that signed inheritance of the and then trace what Simon did with it, or whether someone else took it. And so when Simon dies, when you say, and I'm asking this, that we should deal with this issue in Simon's estate, who's Simon's PR?
I'm not saying Mr. O'Connell.
Mr. O'Connell. So Mr. O'Connell is going to say, here's the inventory value of Simon's estate, and it's X. But what happens if it would be X plus if O'Connell had suggested that already estate belonged to Simon, but never made it to Simon's estate because Ted never signed it? What about that?
Okay.
I don't know if it's true.
Well, if it's true, it doesn't change what we're doing here today.
Well, okay.
Because first of all, there's nothing I can do to enlighten, there's nothing that Ted can do to enlighten the court by way of a further inventory, because all we have, you know, Simon was in possession and control of his and his wife's life. He knew what assets they had, he knew what jewelry they had. Simon's the only one that could have accounted for that,
okay.
And he lived for some period of time.
Here's the point. Now it comes to, I'm going to try to get you guys to get to this, to the end line here. Here's my view, I'll tell you what it is. To close out Shirley's estate, we should have a clean close, okay? Whereby, one of the things that we do when we close these things is responsibilities, and everything that has to be done under the estate is done, and that includes making sure the personal thing went where it belongs, which was decided. Elliot is claiming, okay, as I'm having this discussion, that didn't happen, okay? Just listen to me, this is very simple. Elliot's claiming that Ted and others diverted valuable assets that should have gone to Simon and his estate, and took it for themselves. Finish. I know you want to speak. Don't speak. Okay. That is a ground to oppose the reclosing of the estate and discharging the PR, because the PR has to turn over to Simon's PR, who's O'Connell. The assets that Simon had a right to unless Simon disposed of them. And Ted alleges that that's not what happened. I'm sorry, Elliot alleges that that's not what happens, that there were other assets that Ted doesn't want. So he never made it from Simon. Simon didn't have it with him when he died, not because he sold it for himself or he sued differently, but he was basically purloined from him. Okay, so here's the way this goes, and I'll hear you on this procedure. That's a claim that Elliot makes, and for me to close the estate, I have to adjudicate that claim. But that means I have to hear evidence to support that claim, okay? And then once I have an evidentiary hearing that Elliot has the burden of proof of, okay, burden's on him to prove that, I can then rule on that. The problem is that without the opportunity to present evidence along that line, I really can't reclose the estate and discharge the PR, especially if the PR is one of the individuals who supposedly took money or property that belonged to Simon for himself. But it goes without saying that to allege that is one thing and to prove it's another thing. So, it's Elliot's burden. I'll start the hearing by saying, call your first witness, and I'll either hear testimony or see evidence, and I'll make a ruling on that. Then, depending upon what that ruling is, I'll be able to then discharge the PR. Now, if you back up for a second, Mr. Rose, it should become apparent to you that until I do that, it's tenuous to call the estate prematurely. But how does he do it? He seems to be pretty convinced that there is no evidence of what he's saying, correct?
Yes, sir. But just to clarify, just procedurally, I think what Elliot is saying is, after my mother died, and my father took possession of everything.
Well, he never got it.
Well, I think he's saying, my father, whatever it was that's in the house.
He's entitled to it.
Right, whatever's in my house, I think he's saying is that the other children influenced the father to give him stuff. No one's, I think that's what he's saying, and that would be something that I'm saying procedurally happens when Simon's in possession of the stuff.
That's all part of the evidentiary hearing, where he has to prove, look, people inherit from their spouse, and let's say they live 2 or 3 years, they can sell it, they can lose it, they can give it away, that's okay, but that's not the part that I'm interested in hearing about. I mean, if that's what happened. So, you know, if we're at that point, where Elliot can make a claim, but we're not going to leave it. We're not going to leave it that way. We're going to leave it where he has to prove his case. He may, Elliot raises issues, but he knows he has to put evidence together of this stuff. So that's what I'm going to do. So how much time do you need, Elliot, for that evidentiary hearing?
I think we got a few other issues. That hearing.
This is a hearing, a narrow.
Probably
hearing.
An hour or two.
Okay. What do you think?
I don't. I've never heard. All I've heard is there's an insurance policy with some jewelry. I have no idea. No one's ever given me a list of how many items they think
you
could take.
Right.
So
but you know what?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. All right. So
I think a half a day would be fine.
Okay.
2 hours.
2 hours. You're going to learn maybe only at the hearing. I mean, the fact that there's an insurance policy.
Premature.
You may say to yourself, you know what, I'm not concerned if that's evidence of anything, there's evidence to stop the closing of the estate. He's got a burden to prove. Let him prove it. The more you oppose his ability to get that hearing and to present that evidence kind of concerns me a little bit, only because I think we need to cross that bridge. Okay.
Well, just to alleviate your concern, though, we have to have that fight somewhere. I'm just trying to figure out where we're having the fight. You know, want to have it in the Shirley estate? That's fine.
You
can have it
because this is a Shirley estate item. You know, I'll deal with that. Depending upon the outcome of that, I'll deal with the next battle. Elliot's raised battles in a lot of different arenas, but I'm not lumping these all together because since it's his burden of proof on his challenges, he might be able to prove some things, maybe not others. But I'm not going to lump them all together. So this is your motion.
Okay, a few things. That would be premature. Right now there's ongoing investigations of Ted into the theft of the jewelry and Pam Lisa and Jill. Those are ongoing with the Sheriff's Department.
Well, okay, but here's the problem.
Okay.
I don't conduct these hearings based upon the fact that I can't have a hearing on this until you tell me that the sheriff's office is investigating to conclude.
Okay.
You know what you do? You subpoena the officers who you think have evidence and have them come in and testify, and that's how I'll know whether that's really the case.
Okay. Then this petition for discharge that they're claiming was signed in April to close the estate.
Wait, hold on. April by who?
Sai.
Yeah, but now I'm not acting. I just entered. Oh,
okay.
I entered an order to say that I'm not ruling on those matters. I'm ruling on Ted's application to close the estate.
Okay, now, because there's no waivers signed by me, I'm also requesting that we get an accounting and that Ted answer these interrogatories that we propounded on him months ago so we can get our hearing prepared for. He's refusing to even address us as peer. By the way, he hasn't even sent out letters since you appointed him a year ago to anybody.
All right, so let me see if the interrogatories are directly to this matter. Where do I find them? Do you know where they are?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, she's got them right here.
Yeah,
also...
Yes, Mr. Rose, was, what, was there a response by Ted to these discovery requests?
There were objections filed before my involvement, my prior counsel.
So having had it been ruled on?
Those have not been ruled on.
Because the council abandoned ship on Ted.
Well, that's...
So we've asked for all this, and they just refused to give us anything.
Hold on.
Okay.
Remember, you know, trying to do things a certain way, if there's a discovery request and there's an objection, I have to rule on the objection.
Okay.
So, so I will, because you tell me now, I didn't know this, I need to be able to rule on the objection to this discovery. I'll either sustain or overrule them, depending upon whether I think this discovery is a good motion that we're talking about. That's pretty easy to think about. Go ahead, what else?
Okay. The accounting now has to take place without the waivers, and there's also been over like $100,000 or $200,000 of legal fees billed that we have no documents on in the estate of Shirley, billed to the estate of Shirley by all these attorneys.
Shirley's estate is paid?
So Shirley's estate's been billed for or paid or whatever. Mark Mansouri, in fact, has an open bill waiting. I don't know how you could close the estate without hearing Mansouri's bill. He's got a petition for legal fees. Yes, right?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, we don't know.
Right. Okay. So, has Shirley's estate, to be holding the estate banking account, and this is Mr. Rose for the record, has Shirley's estate paid fees?
Shirley's estate had no money, so nothing has been paid out of Shirley's estate. The trustee of the local trust is liable for the debts of her estate.
Okay, so did you hear my question?
Yeah, none from the estate.
Okay, so
that I'm aware of.
Well, Your Honor.
Hold on. Okay, so so the first hearing I'm going to have, so I have an entry, is dealing with the objection to the interlocutory and the production. See whether I'll sustain it or overrule the objection. Okay?
There's another issue. We have adversary proceedings open in the Shirley estate, which I don't even know why he's bringing this when he knows that with the adversary proceedings stayed by Your Honor. How are we going to close the estate? My counter complaints against the estate of Shirley Bernstein and Ted and all those issues.
Well, but here's the thing. Let's assume I deal with the discovery, because this is your discovery you set for the hearing dealing with your petition for discharge. In the petition for discharge, they've already said that it is on Ted's side there that Shirley's left, according to the inventory, $25,000 worth of personal fees that went to Simon, and everything else went to either Simon directly or to Shirley's trust. And therefore, there's nothing in the estate to administer or to claw back.
By the way,
your objection to that will raise evidence of whether that's not the case.
Okay.
So that's important proof that there's more in there. Because all they can say is, here's what we say is in this estate, and we want to get out and finish it, close it based upon people can try to get fees from there, doesn't mean there's any money or assets to pay it with.
Well, you
have to be able to determine that the estate itself is entitled to more assets.
He just told you that there's no billings of attorneys in Shirley's estate. You got Mr. Mansouri's motion for his bill to be paid. There's Tesher and Spalina got $100,000 of billing in this estate that's unaccounted for. We need accounting. Yeah.
There's no checkbook.
There's so much fraud going on here, Your Honor, that it's mind-boggling.
So if there's no estate checking account,
right?
Some other personal entity may have paid it. but not the estate.
They're taking the bill from the trust to pay Shirley's estate. So that still has to be accounted for under Shirley's estate. Oh, I would assume they're billing it to Shirley's estate.
Okay, but if they send the bill to Shirley's estate is broke and has no assets, but another entity or person says, hey, I'll pay that. If John Jones says, sure, I'll pay that bill, that's not an accounting item in Shirley's estate. Because John Jones's payment of that bill doesn't show up in Shirley's estate.
It's got to be a loan to Shirley's estate. It's got to come as... So
the beneficiaries have to pay for that.
Who's paying for it?
Well, then in the trust, you can deal with that issue. Why is the trust paying for that bill?
Well, we can't get a trust accounting from these guys. All right. Those were my points.
I have to go to the investiture of Federal Judge Rosenberg, and I'll put you back on. Hopefully, I can still make it. So, let me look to see where I can give you some time on the discovery issue. I'll do this now if I can. I'm going to have to call you. I have to sit with you. I'm going to give you a half an hour hearing on your discovery question. I'll give you 2 hours on the hearing. We're going to take this in small steps so I can knock off some of the folks in the project. That will rise and fall, and the end of that order will be, I'll either say closed, have discharge, or not.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Certificate of service list, the firm that you're with. I just want
to have your card
also. I don't have one on the list. Oh, do you have the card? Okay.
Do you want to take it back to your honor or you want to?
Yeah, I'm right.
Okay. Thank you for your time. Sorry.
So this is.
Erin, do you have a card?
I'm ready for her now.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I'm going to write a room.
Thank you. She doesn't have a card.
I have one.
Here, write it down for Jeff. You want us to text it to you?
I'll take it.
Okay, it's U.S. It's U.S. legal. You're U.S. legal, correct?
But email is all
in West Palm.
I just want to know that you don't have any cards.
I don't have it on me.
Everybody wants one.
I'm so sorry. Okay.
Yeah. I'm incognito. But looking good. How's Peter?
Good.
Probably busy on that Republican.
Busy.
He had a good result for him. What?
Statewide.
Yeah. Oh, really? Locally, the Republicans didn't
Maria
do so well?
Sachs win?
Oh. Yeah.
Do you know that Marty, who was called Marty, he used to live with Brooks Frank, Martin Paul.
Well, I don't think that one very well fun, do you? Just more waste of time.
She was sitting behind you.
Putz. I thought Colin was pretty good in there today. I didn't have to do much. It's such a joke. What are they even thinking?
Well, the next task is to put your evidence together.
I've already got it. Yeah, I got it all. The insurance policy. On the inventory, they have to itemize the inventory, correct? If you have $1 million, you have to show what it is, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what they did. That's what the inventory says right now. Just $25,000. Doesn't even tell you what it's composed of.
No, make them online. Put your sister, have her call in, say, what do you have?
All right, you got all that?
Got all what?
What happened in there? Tell Peter.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good. Maybe
one
day he'll explain it to me.
The ruling ultimately is going to happen the next 2 hearings.
Yeah, no, the next hearing is for the information.
The
right.
He's going to rule on. Number one, whether you've asked things that are discoverable, and if so, this ruling is his objections, the discovery is going to rule whether that's a valid objection.
Well, the objections were that he's not an interested party. That's what they said in their objection.
While they're having me sign waivers as a beneficiary. I like how Colin busted him on that and said, oh, he's not a beneficiary, but you're claiming he's a beneficiary. He's signing a waiver as a beneficiary.
I mean, he seems to catch him and drop him in
the
snare.
Yeah, Colin.
Plus, he could really left out the fact that you were opposed based on the fact that assets have gone missing.
Right.
You didn't think that was important to include in your assessment?
Thank you, Jeff. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care.
Yeah, be good.
We'll see
Thank you very much.
Thank
you. All right, gorgeous. You did great. You're funny. Funny. Well, we kicked his ass there. Rose walked out with not a fucking thing. Looked like a complete fuss.
I think that was totally wrong of what Colin said. So we should pay.
Wait. Did you hear what Jeff said? That it has to be itemized. So it's $25,000. What is it? Right. They didn't itemize the inventory. So it's $25,000 of a peanut?
It's $25,000 cash.
Right. No, it can't be cash.
Come on.
It's not cash. But what is it? We need a line item inventory. Don't worry, that's for our evidentiary hearing.
Okay. Oh, God. I subpoena your sisters. Phone call. What do you have?
Wait till Rose goes back and says, didn't work, guys. The estate's still open, and you're...
And if they don't admit they have it,
go, then... Go, be waiting for Jeff while I'm talking.
Oh. I'm not. My sunglasses.
Okay, go.
If they don't have it, they can't.
Rose?
Alan did. I didn't have this fucking hearing.
Stop when you start winning.
Okay, stop.
Cheshire Cat is like, oh my god, I'm winning! Oh my god, I've never won before! Because it's true, my god, he's actually sees my side finally.
Right.
Too excited. Is that?
Okay, so he just gave me a little shit. He makes it look like he's playing fair. You know what I mean?
I still don't understand how he's like, oh, there's no checkbook for the estate.
Right.
So, it doesn't matter how the bills are getting paid.
Right,
okay,
it does.
Well, then we're still stuck at paying for the...
Wait, man, Siri's got a bill for the estate
to
pay.
For them to go talk to the detective without admitting the fucking forgery. Why are we paying for that?
Right.
That has to come from a sanction or something somewhere. And they can't just sneak the bill in Cy's estate. They can't put a son and Bill together and throw all this Shirley
estate
shit
in there. Well, Rose just figured
is
he's got a long way to go. Multiple hearings to get this estate closed. And we want an evidentiary or we want a production hearing. And Colin just gave it to us. Now you're burned.
Did he give me back my documents?
I don't know. Doubtful.
My pink ones? Oh, I'm going to start writing little love notes and start giving them stuff.
Get up there and speed up ahead of these people.
Over.
No.
I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start writing little hearts by Colin's name and say, oh, here, I have a copy on it. Pink. Good job, babe. You kicked his ass.
Oh, now we got hearings coming up for the info. We need all this info, Your Honor. The inventory is in itemized.
Uh-oh, this is bad.
What?
We got a fire truck.
Coming behind you, so speed up. Go. Speed up and get behind those people. Hold on, dude.
Good.
Not on the far right.
Well, why? I got
no,
a fire
no, because you'll get ahead of these people.
Okay.
You'll save another 20 minutes.
Okay, but I also got
you
a gotta
fire sneak
truck
in. I know. He's coming to the left.
Oh, you fucking
idiot.
Speed over.
I'm scared. Get behind this guy. Just died.
Yeah. Look. Oh, here comes another one. See, in LA, the fucking everybody starts moving. The guy in the far right starts moving. That's what you know you gotta do, right?
Right.
Dude in the far right. Nobody
okay,
can move
are we
if
hungry?
You don't move. Nobody.
Okay. That's not what I asked, though.
Okay. Wanna call Scott and see if he needs.
Bill? I'll call Scott next here. Maybe not.
Here, just give me one.
Bill.
Hey, Ellie.
The state is still open. Alan Rose had a bad hair day today. He pulled out at least another 3 clumps. He's actually gone bald on the entire top of his head now. He hadn't shaved in a week.
Yeah, why did he come all scruffy
his
like that?
His suit was completely disheveled.
I mean,
Colin chastised him 10 times. Jeff Royer was there.
Oh, he was?
Yes, he was. And we kicked his ass. So Colin's like, you haven't given him the production he requested? Blah, blah, blah. No, Your Honor. The other attorneys left. And no. And the inventory. Colin goes through this whole thing. Well, what if Ted and his sister stole the jewelry? I've had this happen in cases with millions of dollars of jewelry. What if Ted and Pam did that? Well, Your Honor, they didn't. Well, Elliot's alleging they did, so you're going to have to prove all this stuff.
So he's like, so admit it, Rose, they could have.
Right.
They could have, right?
Right.
He's like,
He got fucking spanked. Then now we're going to have an evidentiary hearing for 2 hours, a half hour hearing for the motion for the hearing for.
She was there. Now stops.
Yeah, we'll just start and let them do whatever they want.
I had a call from Peter Stamen's office and wanted to have a code be established at 4. So, I'll see what's going on.
Bill, you're breaking up. I didn't hear the last sentences you said. What?
This might get better reception.
Okay.
I'll call you back.
What do you say, Peter?
Have Maritza go in there and say they took it, so they decided to give it to me.
Right.
Because I was very upset. They took
right.
it. Right there. Why did you take it? Did you take it because you thought he was going to give it to Maritza and you fucking wanted it and you were going to give it back if he broke up with Maritza?
Right.
Just leave it open. Why didn't it end up on the estate?
Right.
But then they'll say, oh, he gave it to us.
Where's the inventory of it? Where's the inventory? Where's the itemized list of Shirley's inventory that Bass desired on? Some of it got on Sy's estate somehow. How did it do that?
2 pieces of it.
But over $30,000 worth. So if she only had $25,000, how did $30,000 in their estimate get on there? Right. Where's the furniture? Right.
You get $60,000 of fucking furniture.
Right.
You'd have to take half of the half is for furniture and half is his.
What do you say about subpoena the cop?
Yeah. Oh, how'd you like him biting down his ass for him? Belittling the fraud.
Yeah.
Whoa, stop right there. Yeah. Fraud on the court. Is it very fucking serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, fuck him. Oh no, just throw it in the garbage. Let's just put that aside for a minute. In
right.
the fraud box.
Yeah.
That goes in the fraud box first?
Yes, yeah, right. You know, it's not that important. People do this all the time.
Right, and that's where you need to bring up, because of the fraud, we have no way of trusting them.
Right. Anything
Period.
They did. This
Period.
Is the inventory's a joke, Your Honor.
Ted testified. Yes.
Hello.
Hey, hopefully this is better.
Much better.
Yeah, good. So what I was saying is that Peter called about 15 minutes ago, his secretary did, and wanted to have a call with me at 4.
Okay.
So he may be reporting from his perspective what occurred, and he additionally may be updating me on the other matter we talked about.
Okay. Yeah, I think overheard Rose say he talked to Peter.
Today?
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
Can I talk to Peter?
I mentioned that Peter is going after and he's got a request for production of all documents related to LIC Holdings,
right,
arbitrage,
right.
and all that.
Right.
And he also wanted to talk to Rose about Senate deposition, Ted.
Maybe Rose came back with $400,000.
Yeah, he may have come back with that just to avoid it. I don't know. I'm not sure where it all is, but we'll see. What was I going to say? Jesus Christ, I lose my train of thought here anymore. Anyway, were Ted and Deborah hearing today, or was it
no,
Rose?
Just Rose. Not even Stutterface.
No, but Mimi McAndrews was there. Tesher's attorney.
Tesher's insurance company.
Tesher Insurance Company, but whoever.
And I got to talk to Peter. I keep talking to you about it, Ellie, but I got to ask Peter if he ought to be getting in line to make sure that there isn't some attempt by other parties to sue for the limits of the policy or something. I don't think that she would be there if that was taking place. But
yeah, somebody should have us do that.
Yeah, because Rose has said, oh, we're in negotiations.
Right.
That's scary. You're right, Bill. We don't want that going to Ted.
Exactly. It may be his recovery, and then under the table, you know how it is. He's not afraid to double deal with cash with
right.
Kevin. He'll be hiring Two Oaks Consulting for the rest of his life.
Right. It's a minimal settlement. Right.
Or if it's a big settlement, they're splitting the money.
Right. It'll be the maximum settlement to close everybody out by the insurance company saying, well, our limits on this was only whatever. And so we paid the limits of the policy. We don't owe anybody anything else.
Well, that would all be contested, right? I don't think that went very well for Rosie.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, I don't know what happened there, but we might get a judgment against Cheshire School. The other gen is cracking, I'm sure the judgment proved all their assets at this point, or at least attempted to.
Well, at least to get a claim in there.
Well, that's conversion.
But if you get a claim in,
that's
at least
another crime.
You have an open claim.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have put in claims for it.
I'm going to talk to Peter about that today. The other item, she sent me a letter that Spallina sent demanding that they are suggesting, whatever the right word is, that they pay the claim to Sides Estates when Shirley died. That has never been my understanding of the way beneficiary wording goes. And that by way of example, there's what's called a common disaster clause in insurance policies that essentially say that if a husband and wife died simultaneously, it's presumed that one or the other, depending on which way you want it to go, predeceased the other, and therefore the money should be paid to the estate of whichever the second of the two that were presumed to have died together were.
So if Cy died and Shirley is still the beneficiary while she's dead, it would go to her estate?
That would be my understanding.
Okay.
And there's three of those.
Check that with Peter, because we could put that on the inventory that's also missing from Shirley's estate.
There's three of those. I could only find one because I kind of ran out of time. But that's one I sent you. But there's Cincinnati Life.
They're all on
the
Size
Adjusted
Inventory.
And, right, they all went into Size Estate. But
yeah, and that to me, I was aware of that in whatever we got in that big document stuff that Cheshire and Spallina did to Ben Brown. And I think we talked about it briefly, and my comment was this appears to be consistent with the guy's wishes, for whatever reason, to have his insurance paid to his estate. So with regard to the Illinois litigation, maybe that's the way he wanted it, because that's the way everything else got paid. But I didn't know Shirley was the beneficiary on the policy.
Well, they even say that. They, in the action, they never filed, but Cheshire and Spallina drafted for Palm Beach County to say the trust is lost. Shirley was the trustee and the beneficiary of the trust. So they say that the children were the secondary beneficiaries under the trust, but Shirley was the primary beneficiary. They